Jeff, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Do we have any recent parallels for something like this where you have observers looking at each signature, objecting to some, talk of court filings? Is there anything even remotely similar in recent memory?
Well, I can't think of anything locally where we've come down to a few hundred votes. The thing to remember about these types of really close elections is that they're a lot more likely in lower level races, city council. So if you look at the number of people who are voting in some of the outlying communities in the Valley area, it comes down to a few hundred votes, maybe 10, 20 votes. Of course, this is the city of Fresno, a major city in the country. And so it's surprising and happens very rarely that it comes down to a few hundred votes and you have perhaps some court challenges taking place on verification of signatures of voters and so on.
The last time an outsourcing issue went before voters in Fresno County was last November with Measure O in Fresno County. Tell us about that and maybe how – are there any insights we can gain between these two?
Well, it's interesting from the perspective that it's so similar in terms of the topic and how close the outcome was. The no on Measure O side won by a little less than 2%, I think. But that measure would have made it easier for the Fresno County Board of Supervisors to outsource county services. Looking back, of course, it's kind of a precursor to what we're seeing here in terms of the very close battle lines that are drawn over outsourcing and privatization and both sides' ability. In particular, I think, the ability of the union-supported side to turn their voters out.
Now, with the count that's currently ongoing, the no on G side is currently in the lead by a little less than a couple hundred votes. We expect an updated tally on Wednesday. Looking at the various scenarios that are out there, how, if this breaks one way or the other, would this impact the political future of Mayor Swearengen, both here in Fresno and also any further political ambitions that she may have in the future as she's termed out when this current term expires?
Sure.
If it goes Swearengen's way, yes on G, or if it goes the other way?
It's certainly a blow to her public standing, as any politician would like to go undefeated on all the issues. It never happens, even for the most successful politicians. So I don't think this one issue is going to, sink her administration or sink her political future. And in terms of just locally her ability to get things done, I don't think it's going to change too much. It really comes down to what vote she can get on the council. It's unlikely to change her four-vote majority that she seems to have on the council. She still has veto authority. I don't think it changes her ability to negotiate contracts with the other labor unions. Depending on how this plays out, if she loses the Measure G, it could actually strengthen her position with the police officers union, because she could say that we don't have much to offer now because we don't have the flexibility that Measure G was going to offer us in terms of being able to negotiate with the police union. So she might be in a little bit stronger position when it comes to negotiating the police union contract.
Swearengen's name has been mentioned by a number of people in Sacramento also as being a Republican who might have potential for statewide office or serving in Sacramento in some way. I'm not sure if she's been out there putting her name out, but others have. What would Measure G's failure or its success do to her political future beyond Fresno?
I don't think Measure G will have much impact on her ability to run for statewide office. If anything, I would say just the position that she's taking of outsourcing from the very beginning, even if we don't get to Measure G or not, is what is going to be most influential. And the reason I say that is it's very hard for any Republican candidate to gain much traction in a statewide race now. And we see that just with the fact that all of our statewide offices are held by Democrats. So it's going to be hard for any Republican. And if a Republican is going to be competitive in a statewide election, they're going to have to be moderate if not, you know, tilting to the left. So that's why I say just the fact that she's already staked out her position on outsourcing and privatization could potentially hurt her in a statewide matchup.
You mentioned that if Measure G fails in the final count, that in some way it could actually strengthen Swearingen's hand at the negotiating table with the Fresno Police Officers Association. Could it also be possible that if Measure G fails and things at City Hall continue to operate, the fiscal emergency issue is out there? Swearingen has talked about the possibility of declaring a fiscal emergency. Has she boxed herself into a corner in some way if Measure G fails, that she's going to have to do that? Or does it give her more freedom in saying, you know what, things have improved, but this is still an issue that's a concern and we need to rein in the costs of the employment at City Hall?
Well, I think a couple of things. First, I don't think it boxes her in. In any political environment, the circumstances change, information changes, revenue estimates for the city and state are going to change. And my guess is that the revenue situation is going to improve, and so the city will be in better circumstances. But aside from that, now that you don't have one of your main proposals to ease the city's finances, you have a pretty solid reason for why you're going to make additional cuts, for why going into the negotiations with the police officers union that you have to be much tighter in terms of flexibility. So in some ways, whereas I'm sure that she preferred, her administration preferred that Measure G passes, in other ways, it kind of makes some of these other things easier for her to have to deal with.
Two more quick questions. One final one about Measure G. It's very rare in Fresno history to see an issue like this come before voters with a successful petition drive, and then the election. The council could have decided not to hold the special election and simply reversed its decision. Do you see a possibility that we might see more petition drives that would overturn such controversial votes in the future?
I would say from just the city council's perspective, I think they're going to give more consideration to their votes, thinking that a referendum is a possibility. I'm not sure that it's going to make that much difference. I mean, I think it's an issue-by-issue concern, I guess you would say, because on other issues that the council and the mayor decide on, you're probably not going to get the union backing or the support that we saw in this. It was just this particular issue happened to strike a chord with city voters.
Before we go, Senate District 16, that election is coming up next month. We thought for a while that Andy Vidak had won it outright with over 50% of the vote, but as the final votes were counted, it's a runoff between Leticia Perez, the Kern County supervisor, and the Kings County farmer. What's your analysis of that race moving forward? It's a district that leans Democrat. Does Perez have smooth sailing moving forward, or is Vidak the rising star that many in the Republican Party would like to see him as?
I still think it's Vidak's to lose, and you have to go back to the registration advantage that Democrats have in the district. It's right around 20%, and the fact that Vidak did so well in an overwhelmingly Democratic district, I would say that it's his to lose. Now, of course, when you add up the Democratic votes, there are two other Democratic candidates in the race, that it makes it a very competitive race. But I guess my gut instinct would say that given Vidak's competitiveness a few years ago when he ran against Jim Costa in a congressional race, and the fact that Leticia Perez is somewhat new on the political scene, I would probably have to bet the odds on Andy Vidak in that race.
Would you expect to see some big sources of outside money coming in for this race, given the fact that the primary was closer than many people expected?
Well, I think it's definitely going to be a high-profile race, and that's because the Democrats and the state senate are sitting on this two-thirds majority. They're right about a one- or two-vote margin. There's some other special elections going on in the state that could decrease or pretty much maintain the status quo there. So we're going to see a lot of money from all over the state come into the race, and it's because that two-thirds vote majority in the Senate is so crucial to getting stuff done in Sacramento.
Our guest today has been Jeff Cummins, political science professor at Fresno State, talking about the fate of Measure G as we wait with bated breath to find out the final tally, hopefully on Wednesday, and about Senate District 16, the runoff election happening next month between Leticia Perez and Andy Vidak. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Joe.